You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 290 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. 1 week at a time, or one every 2 weeks, whatever. We're going to close in on 300 soon, Ben. I know we're going to get there eventually when our schedules get, my schedule, it's mostly my schedule, gets a little bit better. We're going to hem this thing up and we're going to hit 300. But tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Boy, oh boy, if you would have had Brian Harman, that you could have bet him to win. I think it was 200 to 1, something like that. You could have raked it in.
Did you watch the reel that your uncle sent us of the lady that picked him?
No.
Oh, you got to go back to our Instagram and watch the reels.
Okay, I'll watch.
Where he found that, I had no idea, but she went all in. She's a better out in Vegas. She's somebody that helps set lines. She said, "Do yourself a favor, pick Harman. It's easy money.
It's incredible."
And then he wins.
Yeah. So
now, I've never heard of her before, and probably won't ever hear of her again. That's probably her one pick of her lifetime that she probably got right. So
yeah.
Congratulations to her.
Exactly. Well, you could have bet Harman. You could bet any golfer, anytime, any tournament in their sports book. You also can bet every other sport. Check out their lines, their props, their futures, everything. They release some college football props, win totals, things like that. They got it all. Bet Online. Use your starting quarterbacks. Use your coupon code. Believe, BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Give them $100. They're going to give you 50 back free to play with. It's a ton of fun. And if you get tired of sports betting, you can go have fun in the casino, the online casino. So it's a blast. Bet Online. It's where the game starts. All right, Ben, it's been a while. So why not just kick off the show with
okay.
a Kyle steaming hot take that is sure to piss you off. Are you ready for this? You ready for this?
Hold on. Before you say that, here's my quick hot take. Okay. It's been so long since I've seen you in this element. It looks like you're broadcasting from prison.
I'm actually in prison. I got to get some kind of artwork, some kind of something to go behind me. But I'm in Dad Bod Golf Pod prison. So, you know, the good prison.
Okay.
It's really like a work release program. So. Okay. All sometimes right. That's what I feel like.
I'm sure you do.
No, so here's my hot take. You ready for this? The Open is the worst major, hands down. The Open, and this has nothing to do with who won it. The Open, I'll say this. I think I like the Players better than the Open. How about that? I would put the Open.
Yeah, but I like the Players better than the PGA Championship.
Well, I got the Players. The Players is now my fourth top tournament, and the Open is fifth. And let me tell you why, okay? I got several reasons, but this isn't like this is new. Like, we just figured out that the airtime absolutely sucks, okay?
Yeah.
So, but like, we try so hard to convince ourselves that we're going to get up at 3 a.m. on Thursday and Friday, and we're going to watch it, but nobody really enjoys it. And we fall asleep. We end up falling asleep during it. And it just the overall, the TV coverage just sucks for a major. You're finishing at like 1 o'clock on Sunday. If you go to church, you miss the whole thing. And then Saturday, if you want to watch, you can't play. I mean, you could go play in that. You could go play that afternoon, I guess. But it's not. You can't go do anything in the morning and then come sit down in the afternoon and watch the major in the late afternoon. Like that's kind of like your day, and it ends in a weird time where it kind of messes everything up. And then here's another thing that's becoming. It is so weather dependent. Like, I feel like the tournament is so weather dependent. Otherwise, those courses just aren't that hard. I'm sorry. Like, it has to be hard. It has to be firm. It has to be windy. It has to be cold. It can't be like 65 and have rained on and off for like weeks and everything looks green and you can zip wedges in there. You could play it like an American golf course with no trees. That's what it was. It was an American golf course from 7,300 yards with no trees. Now, the bunkers are crazy. The bunkers are penal. I get it. But it's just it's
good word.
It played like an American golf course. I don't even feel like American players. I mean, other than I know Brian Harman was an American player, but like our American players aren't playing great right now. The top guys. So like it took a lot of the firepower, and a lot of that's just situational. But I think I'm over the Open. Like I don't think that I really enjoy it anymore. And here's another thing. You only know St. Andrews. That's it. That's the only – that's like, let's just be honest. We'll say, we like Carnoustie and this, that, and the other. You can't name one hole at
Carnoustie. You can't – I will say that. I will agree with you on that. I've said that before with buddies of mine. They're like, I love it because it moves from course to course. I said, go ahead and tell me – describe five holes on each course.
Yeah.
If that's a thing – because if you're right. Even Tiger Woods in the first game he came out only had St. Andrews on there. He didn't put the other courses on there on his video game. There's a reason, because that's the only thing that us dumb Americans know is St. Andrews. So when you start playing it, and even when they said they were like, you know, Rory won here last time at Hoylake at Liverpool. And then they start showing the highlights. I'm like, that doesn't even look like the same frigging course.
Tiger. That's the one where Tiger was hitting two irons. Like,
yeah,
but that's an open to me. Like, that's an open to me when you got to hit, like, you're hitting it and a cloud of dust shoots up in the air and you hit a two iron 437 yards. Like, that's that to me is an open. Like,
this is a stupid pet peeve, too, that I had with it that some people may totally disagree with. If you live there and you go to the tournament, Kyle, they sit on like the western portion of a time zone, people, I don't know if you realize this, they were still playing at 9:30 at night their time. They teed off first tee time 7:30 a.m. their time, finished at 9:30.
Some of that's probably to get us some TV time, though, don't you think?
I completely get it, but I'm just saying, if you're a person that is attending it, which they do limited tickets on, that's a hell of a day. You go all four rounds to that. And you got to take a vacation the next week. Yeah. I mean, damn near a 20-hour day that you're out there on the golf course when you start talking about, you know, having to get there in the morning to get started, and then you stay till the last putt drops at the end of the evening. So, I the TV times, you're right, and I get it. It's early, and I even get up early. I get up at 4 to go to work in the morning. Yeah. But I still am not able to tune in till 5 a.m. when I get inside the studio and start watching, you know, on the TV. And you know, they got ripped a new one. TV coverage, commercial after every commercial. Two shots. That's my gosh. Too.
That's another thing. Commercials were awful. I feel like that was not something that did not go over well with a golf, like golf people, golf media in general. Wonder why it seemed like there was that many more
Morning drive time, baby. That's what sells. Morning drive time. They can charge higher rates during morning drive time, and so they jumped all over it. And that's why they did it.
It's all in all, it was just a I don't know. I think I had sort of an epiphany. Maybe if like John Rahm would have come back and could have won, or somebody like that could have won, I wouldn't have. Maybe it's a little bit of recency bias, but I just feel like I didn't watch a lot of the tournament, not because I didn't want to, but because of the way my kids wake up at 7 in the morning on the weekends, and they take over the TV, and then you know, usually in the afternoon I can put them outside, play around, and I can watch a little golf or whatever. But no, you're inside, then you got to have lunch, and then the tournament's over, then the round's over. It's just, I don't know. I think I'm starting to come to the realization that I'm just not a big Open fan anymore.
Did I not pick that? You know, we did this before we ranked our Opens. We got to go back and look at that show. I think I had them at 4.
No, you had PGA Championship at 4.
Yeah, I think we all had PGA Championship before.
Starting to be dope.
It's the last 2 years. Last 2 years have probably been the best 2 years that the PGA Championship has been around. These last two winters that have come about. So,
heck yeah.
With JT with the come from behind and the meltdown of Mito, you know, last year, and then you know this year just the back and forth with everybody. I mean, The PGA Championship was one of the ones that ranked up there towards the top this year, probably as far as tournaments to watch. And so maybe it's making a comeback. But yeah, the Open Championship, I did find myself midway through the round on Friday. I was kind of like, you know, if it's not at St. Andrews, I just don't know if I care.
I know. I don't think, you know, do we know which one it is where you have the Vandeveld where he hit it in the berm? Where is that?
I don't know the name of it, but still, that's the only hole I know.
And then
is
you
him
got
hitting
the postage stamp. You got the postage stamp.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know which one that is. I know there's that hole. And then you got the one that's got like the spectacle bunkers or Hell's Bunker. Heck, Hell's Bunker maybe in St. Andrews. I don't know. But like there's I basically started to wonder too, like, do I even want to go over there and play golf? Like, do I really, everybody's talking about, I want to go over there. It's a bucket list. But like now I'm starting to really think like, is it really a bucket list? Like really you go over there to play St. Andrews and that's pretty much it.
That's the thing. I told somebody that. Somebody asked me, they said, yeah, but wouldn't you want to go play? I said, I gotta be honest with you. If I can't get on St. Andrews, I probably don't want to go play.
Yeah. Like I'll go play St. Andrews and then take me to play like the most famous holes out of a couple of other courses and I'm good to go. Like I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
I'm okay with playing St. Andrews twice and then sitting up there on that balcony and watching people come into 18 and just get drunk afterwards. Oh, I'd be good with that.
That'd be incredible. Yeah.
Everybody'd be like, well, what about those courses down the way? I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to stay here and drink beer and watch everybody come into 18 and then play St. Andrews again tomorrow.
They're like, we're going to go play the new course. Like, you got the old course. We're going to go play the new course. And then it's like, nah, I'm good. I've seen enough. I'm going to hang out up here and eat bad food and make fun of people, basically.
The one thing I will say this, and I said this, our good friend Doug in Montgomery has allowed me to promote the pod on his radio show. And he asked me one of the takeaways that I had from the British, I still call it the British Open, which Kyle can't stand. But even though Colin Morikawa had the best quote where he said, well, I want it. So I think when you win it, you can call it whatever the hell you want. I thought that was fantastic.
And but, DJ said, I call it the Open because I'm not 12. And that's what the name
yes.
is.
Yeah, it's amazing that the two quotes from the two of them. But the chirping that was going on towards Harmon from the quote, home of golf.
Yeah.
That happens at Augusta. Even at Bethpage Black, where they're rooting against a player, they toss him. Yeah. And they're letting these people just rail on him as he's, you know, walking down the fairways. And because he brought it up, he said other stuff was said, but the one that stuck out in his mind was when the guy told him he didn't have the stones to do it, to pull it off. And so it kind of rallied him. But when I look at that, I'm sitting there going, that happens anywhere else. Not only if it happens at Augusta, not only are you kicked out, you ain't never coming back.
Yeah, they're gentlemen. That's it could be an American guy that said it over there too. So who knows? But yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be. It's everybody's gentlemanly over there, and it's proper this and proper that. That's another thing.
Yeah, well, they showed their ass, and I didn't like
say a lot of things that I have a proper something, and that bothers. I don't know. That gets on my nerves too. We're gonna have a proper beer or a proper meal or something like that. I don't know. But I don't like that they call it games. Like tea times. It's a tea time. It's not a game.
It is. It's a tea time.
Because the whole thing is a game. It's not like an inside, like it's not like one-on-one, you know, 27 times or 30 times.
They're not playing hammer while this is going on out there.
No. It's not a game. They're not games. They're tea times. They're pairings and tea times. That's it. It's not games. So I got
well, congrats to Harmon. He got the win. I got a quick Harmon story. I was scrolling through reels
before we jump into your horse.
Okay.
We're going to spend a whole segment on Harmon. But before we do that, we want to give a shout out to Bad Birdie Golf Apparel. We have a new coupon code. Now I actually have to look up now because I forgot it. I think it's DADS15. I think that's what it is. I think it's
DADS with an S.
15. Let me check really quick.
This is phenomenal radio.
This is great radio right here. Yes, DADS15. Okay, use coupon code DADS15. Take 15% off all of your orders.
DADS15.
DADS15. Because there's two dads. But Yeah, they got new shirts that they drop seemingly every day, hats, all kind of stuff. We love them. That's basically all I wear on the golf course now is Bad Birdie stuff. And I love it. I love it. I love the colors. I love the patterns. They just look good and you just feel good. You just feel chipper. You feel happy when you get out on the golf course, and that's all that matters. So check them out. Use coupon code DADS, D-A-D-S, 15. Take 15% off your next order and the order after that, and so on and so forth from henceforth.
Kyle and I haven't played since we received them, but next time we're going to have our matching USA polos.
Yes. Yes, we got some matching polos they sent us, and can't wait to show them off. All right, Brian Harmon. Okay, first off, I feel bad for him because him winning probably has a lot to do with my opinion of the Open in general. He may have ruined the Open for me for the rest of my life. Who knows?
Wow.
I feel bad about that because he's a journeyman dude. He's played forever. He's from the South. He played at Georgia. And he's always kind of been there, but never really just done it. And he absolutely waxed everyone from wire to wire. And every time that he like would bogey, he'd turn around and like birdie the next two holes in a row. Like every time like he would bogey and people would get excited, and then he'd go boom, boom, and just sit you right back down. And to win by what, six or five shots?
13. He's 13 under, next guy 7 under.
Yeah, six shots. That's just absurd in a major. I mean, you're talking all-time great type major tournaments to win by that many shots. So kudos to him. And I feel bad for him. They like you said, they ripped him. They had the broadcast had the waggle counter, which is he does. Sorry, bud, you got to play a little bit faster. You got to play just a little bit faster. You bring some of it on yourself, but hey, like let's just have a little bit of respect for the guy that's just stomping everybody.
Yeah, that's leading the tournament. I mean, he's in the last group. It's not like he's holding anybody up.
It's true. There's nobody behind him, so like, not a lot you can say there. I don't really know. I mean, you said there's a story about how like something about something that happened in college, how he got a nickname or something.
Yeah, he got a nickname as they were, and I don't know which teammate it was, but the host that asked the teammate said he got the nickname Cockbite.
Oh,
and they said, how did that take place? And it only lasted about 6 weeks, this particular nickname did. And then basically Harmon was fed up, I think threatened to probably kill everybody's family that was in the locker room. Yeah. he actually went around and bit cock to keep people from calling him
cock, right?
So they're coming out of a tournament over in Oregon, and their coach pulls out in front of like this SUV. And this SUV basically starts tailgating them. And eventually goes around him, and when he does, he like slams on brakes and then makes the Georgia team ride his ass all the way. Well,
nice.
This guy pulls into a gas station. Well, the coach for Georgia at the time, pretty big dude. So I think he was really kind of wanting a little bit of smoke here. Yeah, not a cockbite. And so he pulls in behind there into this gas station, and Harmon's the first one out of the truck.
Oh, that's what you do. You send out your stud first.
Yeah, 5'7".
Yeah,
probably in college, probably more like 5'5", 5'6". He probably had a growth spurt once he got out of school. So he steps out, and then this guy gets out of the SUV
and
tattoos, mullet, tank top, tattoos everywhere. Probably, as the teammate said, a mountain of a man, probably 6'6", 6'7". And he looks at Harmon and he goes, "What are you going to do, cockbite?"
And then he just
walks into the store, and the team heard it. And when the team heard it, they were like, "That's it, nickname done, cockbite from here on out." And
that's fantastic.
And so they asked the teammate. They said, "Well, how come you don't call him anymore?" I said, "Oh no, it lasted like 6 weeks." And after that, he was having emotional distress after being called that the entire time. So we stopped.
You can only handle so many of those before you start kind of breaking down. He says, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In 20 years, I'm going to win the Open. You can suck it." Tattoo.
Cock like that.
Bite on that. One thing I thought couple of things that were crazy about the tournament, and then we can, you know, kind of move on from it. But I think he was like 55 of 56, 10 feet and under.
Oh, he's 58 of 59.
Okay. I knew he had, it was somewhere in the 50s, and he only missed.
And that one was on the final day on the back nine. He almost went 59 of 59. He lit it out.
That sounds fake. That sounds like a fake stat. Like they just made that up. That's yeah. Impossible.
That's golfing like, your ball, man.
What I would love to know is, instead of 10 feet and under, I would love to know his stats from like 10 feet to 5 feet. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I said
I'm
that
sure
too.
I'm sure there's a lot of tap ins that he racked up a lot, like putting it up there real close and tapping it in. But I mean, it seemed like anytime he had to make a crucial putt for par, he would pour it in. One of the most impressive putting statistics I think I've ever seen. I saw a stat the other day that in 2001, Tiger had 106 consecutive drives without missing a fairway. Like, this is that almost that
holy
impressive.
Moly. Yeah. Yeah. That is pretty impressive.
Something like that. I mean, it's like that impressive. And then for all of the talk about the equipment rollbacks, the ball rollback, club technology, all this, some dude that hits it 280 off the tee, dominates a major championship by 6 shots. Like do you think that this win could possibly silence some of that? Like, do you think it could possibly silence some of that?
No, because I think the PGA Tour Rules Committee is going to go ahead and move forward with it. But I think this should actually, instead of silence it, I think some of the players should come out and go, why are we rolling it back? You know, that's the golf is the one sport, and I've told you this, that we can play what the pros play.
Yeah.
Like, we can't play NFL football. We can be in a football league and play flag football if we want, you know, soccer league, church basketball league, whatever that may be. Golf is the one sport where, I mean, you and I have been lucky enough to do it. Like, we can be out there playing and there can be a professional golfer come join us and play with us. Like, that's right. Never going to happen if you and I are playing flag football with the church. That nobody from the Falcons are going to drive down and play on our team with us. So,
right. And have the same equipment, everything.
And so I really wish that some of the players, instead of it silencing some of this talk, I wish they would step up and tell the PGA Rules Committee, look, this is a prime example why there's no need for a rollback. Like, set the course up different.
Set it.
Like, you're the ones that have caused this. You and I have had this discussion numerous times. You're making par threes 290 yards, where one of the toughest holes out there was 17 that was 126 yards in the open, and it played over par a couple of days. So you can set up a course and pin placements and, you know, skinny up fairways and add bunkers without having to make the course long or without having to make the pros play with a softer ball. And I don't the equipment rollbacks, the ball rollbacks, I will say this, they still haven't addressed the driver issue. And I found it very interesting. Adam Scott had mentioned that. He said that used to be the club that would give him trouble. And now everybody's grabbing driver out of their bag because it's so easy to find a fairway with a driver.
Yeah. It's the easiest club to hit now.
He was like, you can slow down your swing and you can hit a driver dead straight further than your three wood and be right in the middle of the fairway. And, you know, it's the guys that get greedy. They're trying to hit a big sweeping hook that end up making a mistake or hit a big high cut and gets away from them because it gets too spinny. But, Adam Scott said, they keep talking about the ball this and the ball that. He was like, man, my driver is my easiest club in my bag to hit. I mean, you take an easy, smooth swing and put it out there and it goes 290, 300.
I still think all you really need to do is – tighten fairways and grow rough. Like,
yes,
don't give them, like, it has to be penal to miss a fairway. It has to be penal to just want to bomb it and gouge it out. Like, it can't be like this half-ass rough or these like wide fairways. Like, tighten them up, grow the rough, and it's easy to get back in shape for members after they're gone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you don't have to do crazy stuff like fast greens, tight fairways and heavy rough, and like you can make any course tougher.
Yeah.
If you have equipment rollbacks, Brian Harman may not happen. Like some of these guys, you kind of eliminate dudes like that, which, you know, some people may be happy about that, but I don't want just the long guys just to have just such an incredible yeah. advantage all the time. And that's all they're going to do. The dudes that can survive hitting, you know, fours and four irons and five irons into greens like a Harman. Now they're going to have to be hitting hybrids and woods yeah. and greens. Like, you know, they can still be real skilled with their long irons and play professional golf. And then you're just going to essentially, you know, kick those dudes out. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I kind of feel like this was a good testament that even dudes that aren't super long can go low regardless. So like the rolling it back does not really help. It's not as much of a help as we're thinking, because it's not just all these long bombers that are winning all these tournaments. So,
well, and John Rahm said it best too, is he said it's going to roll it back, what, maybe 10, 15 yards for us.
Yeah.
And he said, you give me a year, I'm going to figure out how to get that back. So these guys are professionals. Like you think you're changing the rules for them and they're going to adapt and adjust. They all have. I mean, you look at when they got rid of the square grooves, they were like, oh man, they can't have square grooves. Nobody's going to be able to spin the ball back anymore. How many balls did you see during the, I mean, that didn't stop them.
Off of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a, you know, the way you can adjust lies and angles and all that kind of stuff now, and the way they can get handsy with the ball around the group, that didn't stop them at all. That seems like a real small thing, but everybody's like, ah, see, we got rid of the square grooves. Like Phil can't hit his, you know, flop shot that like sucks back greenside. It's like, yes, he can. He just adjusts.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what they do. That's what the pros do. So I'm with you. I wish it would silence the PGA Tour Rules Committee talking about it. I wish it would strengthen the players going, what are we doing? Like, this is not something that is good for As one player said, and I've forgotten which one said, it said, you know, we make rule changes, it's supposed to be for the betterment of golf, you know, and that's a rule that's not for the betterment of golf. You know, changing it where you don't have to hit out of divots in the fairway, that's for the betterment of golf. You know, dropping the clock where they're not looking for 10 minutes so they can speed up the game and they have 3 minutes to find a ball and then they have to hit again, that's for the betterment of golf. Softening the ball so the pros don't hit it as far, that doesn't do anything for anybody.
No. But congrats to Brian Harman. I mean, that's like less life changing type stuff right there.
Oh yeah, it's only his third win on tour, and the rest came, I mean, years ago. He's been in the hunt a few times, but for the most part, I mean, he's won the John Deere Classic in 14 and won the Wells Fargo in 17. Yeah, of course. And only won it by one stroke over Zach Johnson, another short hitter. So maybe the John Deere Classic is the place where we want to go if you're a short hitter. So won the John Deere Classic and the Wells Fargo Championship, and this is only his third win. So, and it was a 6-stroke victory.
It's crazy.
In a major.
Well, let me tell you something that's majorly needed for your golf game. And y'all stay tuned, because we're going to have something special with this coming up pretty quick. But Blue Tees rangefinders, guys, you can't play golf fast. You can't play golf great. You can't take your game to the next level unless you know your yardages. You know how far it is to the pin, how far it is to the front and the back of the green. And you can use the Blue Tees rangefinder for that. It's got the Series 3 has everything that the top dollar ones have. It's got scan mode. It's got slope. You can toggle it on and off. Got the buzz lock on, the magnet built in already. Awesome carrying case. They got three colors you can choose from, and we should be getting one soon. We're going to do a giveaway with it, and we'll post details on that as soon as we get it. But use coupon code DADBOD and take 10% off your next order. You can get Bluetooth speakers. They're always doing crazy deals too, like crazy markdown deals that you can use your coupon code on top of and get even more savings. But they got the player pack that's got like magnetic towels, divot tools, mag hubs, like I said, the Bluetooth speaker, and then the rangefinder. They're awesome. A lot of my friends have texted us. They've got theirs. They love theirs.
We love ours.
Love ours. There's no reason to go buy a high dollar $400 or $500 rangefinder anymore. It's senseless. It's absolutely senseless. It has everything that you need. Check them out. Blue Tees. It's where rangefinders start. All right. Let's wind it up with a little Ryder Cup talk. And we can go a little bit – we'll probably go a little bit more in-depth in a couple of weeks as the season winds down. But, I mean, as of now, this could be one of the weaker fields from a star power standpoint, from a top guys playing well at the right time standpoint. I'm just a little bit nervous. About how
you should be.
This team's going to shape up. I mean, your top six, you got, I mean, Brian Harman, I'm proud of him, happy for him. Brian Harman's number three on points right now. Like, yep. do we want 280 off the tee, in the Ryder Cup? Like, I like the putting aspect of it. I think he'd be he probably could be a good alternate shot guy, hitting approaches and putting people out in the fairway and then making putts when he has to make it. But again, I mean, Brian Harman, and then you got Wyndham Clark, who's number two in points, which I feel a little bit better about Wyndham Clark because he's won a couple of times this year. But
and he's kept it up. I mean, he was not – you can't say he was in the hunt because he wasn't, up there around double digits like Harman, even in the Open Championship. But still, he had a decent tournament. But it's still – I just think the Ryder Cup is
different. Scotty's your number one golfer, and he had an awesome beginning to the year. But he's just not playing great right now. Like, he's not playing very good golf, it seemingly, right now.
Well, in the Ryder Cup, you got to putt well, and he's not putting well right now.
Oh, he's worst. He's the worst, like one of the worst putters on tour right now. Mm-hmm. It's I don't know. It's a little bit concerning. I say he's playing bad. Hell,
he's got like seven top tens, so he's not that bad.
Not that bad. But the putting is what's keeping him. The reason don't get me wrong, seven top tens, he's a ball striking like phenom still. But in the Ryder Cup, you got to be able to putt, and he's having one of his worst putting seasons probably ever for him. And I'm trying to pull up strokes gained putting and like total putts right now.
While you do that, I'll give you a rebuttal though to your Americans being, but this could be just one of the worst overall Ryder Cups period to watch.
True.
Because when you look at the European team, Rory and John Rahm, 1 and 2, the only other name you're going to recognize in the top six is Tommy Fleetwood in there at six. And then Shane Lowry in there at 10, as far as when you start looking at captain's picks. And Tyrrell Hatton's at 11. He could possibly be a captain's pick just because, and honestly, they may take him for personality and because of his fire. But some of these other guys, maybe they do well on the European tour, but I don't know them.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm looking up. So Scotty's number one in strokes gained total, number one in strokes gained off the tee, number one strokes gained approach, 138th putting, strokes gained putting.
Oh my gosh.
It's
what, 100 out of 175 players?
How's that possible? Like, I don't get it.
He's, and the fact that he's got seven top tens, it's like, bro, do you realize that could be seven wins? Like, if you hit three more putts in those rounds,
you win
the tournament.
If you're 60th in strokes game putting, you've won six times this year.
Just cut it in half. Where you are now, cut it in half, and you probably, out of the seven top tens, you probably win five of those seven tournaments.
It's insane. but yeah, so that's, I mean, anytime you're you know, anytime you're struggling with a flat stick going in the Ryder Cup, it's concerning. But like your top six guaranteed right now is Scotty, Wyndham, Bryant, Harmon, Koepka, which Koepka will continue to lose points because he's not going to play in any more events. So what are the odds he drops out of the guaranteed and then gets shafted? You know what I mean? Like that's always a possibility of not being a captain's pick. And then your captain's pick, your seven is Max Homa, which Max is fine. He's a good player.
Was his first top 10 in a major. All the golf we've seen Max play, and this was his first top 10.
Exactly. You got Cam Young and then Jordan Spieth, who, you know, he's Jordan. Keegan Bradley, who's won twice and been kind of average outside of that, but that's why he's number 10. Kyle Morikawa's not playing great right now. Ricky Fowler could be one of the better captain's pick options right now. And he's at 12 because he's just getting hot towards the end of the season. Justin Thomas has fallen completely off the face of the earth.
He needs to just work on his game until next year.
Yeah, and then you got guys that have been there like Tony Finau and have played well that are all the way down at like 19.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like you said, the other side has no one. Like there's only three.
Big shout out to our buddy from Columbus though, Russell Henley. He's down there at 25. At least he made the top 25. He ain't gonna get picked, but still.
He's gonna have to. He's like a top 15 machine, I feel like. He's always gonna be right around there because he made it to Atlanta last year and on the tour championship, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's the same thing with Tom Hogue, who's right underneath him. I mean, those guys are just going to be there and make cuts every week.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see them playing on Sunday. They just won't be in contention.
Where actually is the Ryder Cup this year? I wonder.
It is in Italy. I've forgotten the name of the tournament or the name of the venue. But yeah, it's on foreign soil. It's in Italy.
Marco Simone Golf and Country Club, just outside of Rome.
And so, I mean, it'll be an away game, and I don't know. Does it give the yardage on there? The website you're looking at?
First time that's ever been in Italy. Is that
I think you're correct in that. Yep.
Yeah. Keep talking. I'll look up the yardage really quick.
Getting back to the teams. I mean, talking about the, you know, I don't know. I mean, with the Ryder Cup being so close, Brooks may be able to hold on to that top set just because those guys underneath him. Max is going to play a few times. He'll jump up. Cantlay could play a few times and jump up. Xander could as well. So those are probably the only three I see that could knock Brooks out of being an automatic qualifier. I think it's both an easy pick for Zach Johnson to take Brooks Koepka, and it's easy for him to say, nope, he's live. I'm not going to let him play. And the reason it's easy for him to take him is because now with the merger, that can be the olive branch that makes it look like the PGA Tour is working with him. Koepka's playing good golf. Say, hey, because nobody else that's playing for LIV is anywhere close. I mean, there's nobody that has an opportunity to jump in there. So Sam Burns is, and I mean, and he's not, no, he's not LIV. I was thinking that
you're thinking Taylor Gooch.
But yeah, I was thinking Taylor Gooch. They're twins, by the way. Ever seen them in the same room?
They do. They do.
I think it's because of the way they walk and both Southern boys. So yeah, if it's,
I'd pick Taylor Gooch.
Yeah. He's playing great golf this year. I mean, he's won what, four times on LIV, and I know they go, oh, it's LIV. I'm like, yeah, he's still playing.
It's still three. It's still a bunch of wins, you know?
Yeah. And you know, get the hot golfer. So I think Koepka gets in because I think that's just an opportunity for Zach Johnson to say, you know, you guys stop talking about it. We took a LIV guy. We took Brooks. And but it's easy to do because there's nobody else within the top 25 that's on LIV. So I think he does that. But Scotty's got to get that putting figured out. And who knows? As I said, Wyndham's still young. I know he's having a good year, and I know he's won a couple of times this year, and he's won a major. But Ryder Cup golf is nothing like – how many guys – are famous for Ryder Cup golf. I mean, look at Ian. Look on the European side. Ian Poulter doesn't win anything on the PGA Tour, and he absolutely slaughters the United States in Ryder Cup golf.
Yeah.
So not this year at all. It's just a different monster. It's a different breed. The one good thing that Harmon's got going for him is early in his career, he was an amateur, like, match play king. That's where he won all of his tournaments, to get him to Georgia and to get him on the Walker Cup and to get him on the, you know, the Junior President's Cup and all that stuff. So
this isn't this isn't an overly long course. It looks like it's like 7,300 yards, and it's a par 72, which is short as well for a par 72. Yeah. I'm sure they probably have some that are stretched out, but like the par fives aren't incredibly long. I don't know what they look like. They could play long, but you got one that's over 600 yards, but all the other ones are, you know, 550 to 570. A couple of long par threes, two 200 yarders, and then some short ones. And then it looks like you always are going to probably have some drivable-ish par fours, which it looks like they have a couple, you know, two or three that could be that way. I mean, you know, maybe Harmon's not – maybe Harmon could, you know, maybe length won't matter that much here. So,
he goes 58 to 59 from inside 10 feet. He'll do just fine.
Yeah, sure. Keep the putter hot, and you'll be good to go. You'll be good to go.
Oh, and I still say, going back to Harmon, please somebody work with him and let's get him some pants that fit. I mean, I know he's 5'7", but let's get some pants tailored. Yeah,
get some Lululemons. Let's go. Suck them in. Let's get some Lululemons, Brian. Come on.
Brian, you're going to Italy. That's the home of fashion, the Italian suits. Let's go find a tailor to fit you while you're in Italy.
Get this Hugo Boss parachute pants out of here. Get that. Yes. Get them zip-off shorts that are in pants. Get them things out of here. Let's get you some tights. Some a little bit tight, a little bit snugger, maybe a jogger. Harmon would be a good jogger.
Oh my gosh.
They would have to be custom. They would have to be custom. Otherwise it looked like footy pajamas. But he would have to get some custom joggers. But you know, get him, slap him some primos. I'm sure they can work something out.
Oh yeah, they got to be able to. He has been in dire need for years of having some pants that need to fit him. So somebody needs to talk. And I get it. He's old country boy. He was ready to get back and get on his tractor and put down the cell phone. I understand it. He's ready to go hunting again. And so
make some people mad by killing big majestic animals.
That lady's nuts. She's insane. Yeah, she's a commentator too, of all people, and then she told on him to the RNA and to the Open Championship.
People don't realize that if you don't hunt animals, they'll go extinct. Like if you don't do that, if you want an animal species to grow, if you want it to be healthy and survive, eat them, because then people will take care of it. People will make sure that their numbers are good, that the herds are good. They'll monitor them. There's money in it. If you want to take care of a animal species, eat it.
Can you imagine how off the rails that woman would go if she found out, like, you know, they do in Birmingham where they do the doe tag days, within the city, to get rid of all those does that are running around in Birmingham. They let them loose and like kill like 100 does.
Yeah.
She would lose her mind if she knew that. She's like, they're putting guns in their hands and sending them out there.
Yep. Yep. Well, appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. Working on scheduling. We're going to get back. Colonel Steve, we're going to get back after it. So y'all hang in there with us.
We're going to make Kyle start sponsoring the show, since he's making all that money now and his job's changed. And he's just, he has zero time to do this. We'll just make him a sponsor. We'll have a sponsorable segment from Kyle Rush.
That might work. That might work. But thank y'all for hanging in there with us. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Is the Open still a thing for you? Is it still hot for you, or is it fading? What do you think about Brian Harmon winning? Do you like it? Do you hate it? And then Ryder Cup, are we in trouble? Is Ryder Cup team in trouble? Let us know. And we may do a whole Ryder Cup show soon. Once the season starts winding down and it seems pretty clear where the picks are going, we'll do a bunch of Ryder Cup shows. So we'll talk again soon. It's episode 290 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always broken.
Broken.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.